Because each of these princesses saw that Lord Achyuta never left her palace, each thought herself the Lord's favourite. These women did not understand the full truth about him. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti called notes that Lord Krishna would leave the palaces only with the permission of his wives, and thus each one considered herself his favourite. Sarvavatya kusharanayata bahunetra saprima hasta sarvichitta bhangu jhalpai samohita bhagavato namano jhetam sarvi brahmai samasukam vanita bhunaha. The Supreme Lord's wives were fully enchanted by his lovely long face, his long arms and large eyes. His loving glances imbued with laughter and his charming talks with them. But with all their charms, these ladies could not conquer the mind of the all-powerful Lord. The previous verse stated that Lord Krishna's queens could not understand the truth of the Lord. This truth is explained in the present verse. The Lord is all-powerful, full in himself, with infinite opulence. Smaya Maloka Lavadarsita Babahari Bhru Mandala Prahita Sarita Mantra Sundai Padnyastu Sarasa Sahasam Anandhadhai Yashindriyam Vimatishtam Karanhana Sakur. The arched eyebrows of these 16,000 queens enchantingly expressed those ladies' secret intentions through coyly smiling sidelong glances. Thus their eyebrows boldly sent forth conjugal messages. Yet even with these arrows of Cupid, and with other means as well, they could not agitate Lord Krishna's senses. Itam Brahmapatim Bhavatya Patim Sriyasta Brahmadhyayo Pinavidu Paragun Hadhiyam Vejo Mudar Viratam Hedithayana Radha Asarvalokan Navasangama Nalasadyam. Thus these women obtained with their husband the master of the goddesses, the master of the goddess of fortune, although even great demigods like Brahma do not know how to approach him. With ever increasing pleasure, they felt loving attraction for him, exchanging smiling glances with him, eagerly anticipating associating with him in ever fresh intimacy, and enjoyed in many other ways. Prachyurigamasanna varahanna patasutya sambara vishyammana vijjana gandhaya kishat prasara sena snapano pahariya dasti chatarpi vabodadu smadasyam. Although the Supreme Lord's queens each had hundreds of maidservants, they chose to personally serve the Lord by approaching him humbly, offering him a seat, worshipping him with excellent paraphernalia, bathing and massaging his feet, giving him pan to chew, fanning him, anointing him with fragrant sandalwood paste, adorning him with flower garlands, stretching his hair, arranging his bed, bathing him and presenting him with various gifts. Of course, we should also understand from these descriptions that Lord Baladev, who also lived in Dwarka with Krishna, enjoyed similar pastimes but with his own eternal consorts.
Tashyamyadasaputranam krishnasriyam parodhitarasulma hishtashtatputram prajumnalimgiranamite.
Among Lord Krishna's wives, each of whom had 10 sons, I previously mentioned 8 principal queens. Skip that one. Then it mentions the various queens and sons of Krishna. In mentioning those queens and sons of Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned also Rukmini, and that elicits this question from Brigid Maharaj.
Sri Ranjavacha Vitam Rukmiyari Putraya Vidaduhi Taram Yudhi Krishna Kari Uttastam Hantum Brandram Pratikshate Etatakya Hi Mevidam Dvishovaga Hi Kamitaha.
King Prigit said, how could Rukmini give his daughter to his enemy's son? After all, Rukmini had been defeated by Lord Krishna in battle and was waiting for an opportunity to kill him. Please explain this to me, O learned one, how these two inimical parties became united through marriage.
Anagatam matitam cha vatamanam matindriyam viprakrishtam yavahitam samyapasati yoginah.
Mystic yogis can perfectly see that which has not yet happened, as well as things in the past or present, beyond the senses, remote or blocked by physical obstacles. Before. Here, King Prigit encourages Sukadeva Goswami to explain why Rukmini gave his daughter to Lord Krishna's son, Arjuna. The king stresses that since great yogis like Sukadeva Goswami know everything, the sage must also know this and should explain it to the anxious king.
So,
I was actually here in the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada yesterday. Of course, the morning walk was many years ago, but I heard it yesterday. And he was saying that I am not a yogi, but still we can we can know everything because we hear from the best of the yogis, Sukadeva Goswami, because that's sort of Prabhupada's humility. But it's interesting here that King Kriti also is describing that Sukadeva Goswami can perfectly see everything, being the best of mystic yogis. So this is how we perceive spiritual truths, is by hearing from Sukadeva Goswami or those who come in the line and represent Srila Vyasadeva and ultimately represent the teaching of Krishna. So by hearing, the beauty is that we don't have to be great powerful yogis. That's the point that Srila Prabhupada was making. We don't have to be highly advanced devotees. All we have to do is hear Sukadeva Goswami, and we can enter into the understanding of Lord Baladeva. Previously, it was described there that personalities like Lord Brahma find it very, very difficult to approach the Lord. They find it very, even great demigods find the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's form, his name, his personalities, his spiritual situation to be inconceivable and not understandable by them. And yet, even though very, very powerful persons such as great demigods, what to speak of, many so-called highly intelligent people in this world. In this world we have people, generally we look up to people who are physicists, astronauts, scientists. These people are very, very intelligent. They write big books, they use big words, and they speak in ways that we cannot understand, and they do all sorts of wonderful things, so-called wonderful things. Yet, even the best among them hasn't even got a clue as to the spiritual situation of Lord Baladeva. Even in as far up as you go, even if you go to way up to the top of the temple, still, I cannot understand. So one may think, and I will have to become a highly advanced yogi, supremely intelligent person in order to understand. But that's not the case. We are so fortunate, all we have to do is hear from Sukadeva Goswami, because he knows the glories of Lord Balaram, and then we just have to hear that, and then we also know. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. That is universally available to all human beings. The only one condition, of course, is that they want to hear these very, very confidential pastimes. Very confidential. Because sometimes, as devotees, we sometimes hear these pastimes often, and we may take it for granted. And we sometimes see that, in Indian culture, you sometimes see that many of the families are actually brought up, they hear these stories from birth. And they know them very, very well. And because that, then they become like, yes, I've heard that so many times. But therefore it becomes something old hat to them, or just a story, a childhood story or a myth or a legend. They don't place much significance on it, even though they know the story very, very well. And sometimes, even as devotees, we can also fall into that fact that sometimes we hear these stories many, many times over many years. But we should always remember that understanding the spiritual significance and developing that relationship with Lord Sri Baladev through hearing these pastimes is a wonderful opportunity that we have, even though we may have no qualification at all to understand, and yet even though being unqualified to understand, we are somehow able to appreciate what even the greatest of yogis, great demigods cannot fathom. So that is the mystery of hearing, Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sri Sukravacha Vitha Swayam Vare Shakshat Ananga Nyaga Itashtayam Rajya Samitam Nirit Nijicha Jaharaka Toyuri Sri Sukravacha Goswami said, at her spine of the ceremony, Rukmavati herself chose Arjuna, who was the re-embodiment of Cupid. Then, although he fought alone on a single chariot, Arjuna defeated the assembled kings in battle and took her away. Krishna Amandita Vyattaradagin Heyaya Sutam Karvam Sasupriyam. Though Rukmi always remembered his enmity toward Lord Krishna, who had insulted him, in order to please his sister, he sanctioned his daughter's marriage to his nephew. Rukminyastanayam rajham krittavarna satogali upiyame saliksham kanyam charumadinkila. O King Bali, the son of Krittavarna married Rukmini's young daughter, large-eyed Charumati. Dohitraya nirujaya sukshim Rupnyanadadare Rochanambara Hairoti Sasutriya Chikirshaya Janambara Mandavyanam Sneha Pasanu Vandanava. Rukmi gave his granddaughter Rochan to his daughter's son Aniruddha, despite Rukmi's relentless feud with Lord Hari. Although Rukmi considered this marriage irreligious, he wanted to please his sister, bound as he was by the ropes of affection. Tasminda Vyudaye Hachan Rukmini Rama Kishalo Purambo Nikatam Jagho Sampa Prajana Nadaya. On the joyous occasion of that marriage, O King, Queen Rukmini, Lord Balaram, Lord Krishna, and several of the Lord's sons, headed by Sambha and Prajunda, went to the city of Bhojikata. Tasmin Nibrita Udivahi Kalinga Pramukha Vipaha Adritaste Rukminam Rocho Balam Akya Nirjaya Raksha Gyo Hyaham Rajan Apita Vyasanam Mahat Ityukta Brahma Huya Atenakshya Rukmya Vityata. After the wedding, a group of arrogant kings, headed by the king of Kalinga, told Rukmi, "You should defeat Balaram at dice. He's not expert at dice, O King, but still, he's quite addicted to it." Thus advised, Rukmi challenged Balaram and began a gambling match with him. So again, here we see something quite difficult to understand, because we know, because we hear from Sukadeva Goswami, that Lord Baladev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he expands, his first expansion is Lord Balaram, who is not different from Krishna. They are both equally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, here we see in this pastime that Balaram is addicted to gambling. So, generally, we find that, because devotees, we don't gamble. And yet here we see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is addicted to gambling. So we're not to gamble, but he is addicted to gambling. So it's very, very difficult for people to understand. Ordinarily, people would see this characteristic of Balaram and immediately question, how can he be the Supreme Personality of God? To them, they would see a fault. Of course, they're looking for faults. Someone who is looking for faults, they will always be able to see a fault, even in the Supreme Personality of God. We see that also in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where his godbrother Ramchandra Puri came to Madhavita, I think it was, and accused Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of being a false sannyasi, a fallen sannyasi. And when he went to the quarters where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying, he saw that there were ants crawling around. So he immediately questioned, where have these ants come from? You've been hiding sweets. You've got a stash of sweets in here and you've been eating them. You live just for your belly. You have no control of your senses. And these ants, they are proof that you are a rascal. So of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately reduced his eating by half, because he considered that Ramchandra Puri, the godbrother of his spiritual master, so he considered the godbrother one spiritual master is to be worshipped, never disrespected under any circumstances. Here, even though he's been falsely accused, he immediately reduced his eating, but he did not criticize. And of course, this is one of the very important aspects of the Krishna consciousness movement, which is very, very difficult for many people to understand. It's not a free-for-all. In the material world, you pick and choose who you want to show a bit of appreciation, a bit of respect, and when you're done with them, you go to someone else. Something like that. In spiritual circles, it is not like that. You actually have to know, gradually to learn the importance and the respectable and worshipful situation of devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also to show respect for all living entities. one cannot disregard one's superiors. So one always, you know, in the Krishna consciousness movement, one always has to be aware that, appreciating that here is a superior person and we show due respect. Of course, in the material world, that is a horrible thought, you know. No one wants to show everyone, in the material world, everyone wants respect for themselves. And people become so, self-absorbed in their own glories. I am so wonderful, and in the material world, in order for people to elevate them, especially in Kali Yuga, people don't elevate themselves by developing good qualities, performing good works. The easier way is just that if you cut everyone down by picking faults with them, then you automatically become better than everyone else. So rather than doing it so that, you know, personal work on yourself, it's easy just to, if I chop it, oh, this one's got this fault, this one's got that fault, this one's like this, that, which is what Ramchandra Puri was doing, the Lord Chaitanya. By diminishing the position of Lord Chaitanya, then that was his way to become superior. So this is the very nature of material existence. So people become self-absorbed, always presenting their own wonderful qualities and their own prowess, and always looking for the faults in others. That is materialism. Of course, in spiritual circles, it's the opposite. Devotees spend all day, every day, 7 days a week, looking at themselves and thinking, so many faults. I have so far to go in Krishna consciousness. And they're looking at the other bodhisattvas and they're thinking, this one is doing so nicely, this one does, this service so nicely, this one has this good quality like that. So, that is the nature, that's how to actually advance in Krishna consciousness. If one wants to actually chant the Hare Krishna mantra constantly, if you want to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra constantly, you have to stay in the association of devotees. Literally, as soon as you lose the association of devotees, you change yourself. If you want to stay in the association of devotees, you have to develop that humility, tolerance, and respect. Okay. So, these are the principles. So here, Lord Baladev, Rukmi is seeing, they are seen as a fault. Lord Balaram, he's addicted to gambling. But they're seeing that there's a fault, there's a flaw. We can utilize that to seize our superior position. Mm-hmm. And to, demonstrate to the world our superiority. Because this is what people do. But as devotees, of course, we understand because we have learnt the ability to hear from superiors. Therefore, although we may have no qualification, just for that one qualification that we can hear from superior authorities, we can understand that so-called fault of Lord Balaram is actually this wonderful quality. Now, here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The controller of all material and spiritual. Actually, Lord Baladev, through his expansions, he manifests, expands all, all the expansions and incarnations that manifest and do everything to do with material creation. He also serves Krishna by maintaining the spiritual realm. Very, very, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet, he comes to the material world for our benefit, and displays pastimes which are particularly enchanting. Pastimes like an ordinary human being, except super excellent, transcendental, and of course when Lord Baladev displays his human-like pastimes, that he is addicted to gambling, that is out of his love for us, he is displaying that pastime. After all, he is God. He can be addicted to whatever he wants. The whole material and spiritual creation belong to him. It's all his. And because he is also all good, whatever he does is beneficial for all time to come, for all living entities. So Lord Balaram chooses to come to the material world out of his compassion to display these very human-like pastimes to attract us back to the spiritual world. So, of course, when we see these pastimes, the wonderful thing is that we can relate to the Lord as this wonderful yet slightly quirky personality. Someone you really want to meet. Someone, Lord Balaram, he's a little bit offbeat sometimes. He does some unusual things. Krishna tends to be a little bit more straight and narrow in some sense. And Krishna also likes to trample over so-called mundane morality and so-called mundane religious principles to show the real spiritual principles of spiritual morality and spiritual religion. But Lord Baladev, he's displaying, he's revealing to us this very wonderful personality, very enchanting personality. If we were unfortunate, we wouldn't know anything. We wouldn't even know that Lord Balaram existed. He could be in the spiritual world for all of eternity, and he could leave us here in the material world for all eternity and never reveal anything about himself. And because of the fact that we are such rascals that we have come here literally like little rooknies to compete with Lord Balaram, he could leave us here forever and be done with you. I'm God, you're a rascal, stay in the material world, and you just forgive me forever. But he's so kind that, out of his love, he reveals, these wonderful pastimes. Very, very attractive. So, the devotees, of course, they see this, wonderful opportunity and of the Supreme Lord. Not as a fault, but as his great mercy, and he's just revealing. You can imagine that, of course, Lord Baladev, he reveals that side of his nature, very enchanting side of his nature, enough to show that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not bound by anything in the material world. He's not bound by any of the rules and regulations or codes of this or that or the other. He's not bound by anything. He's the Supreme Personality. He can do as he pleases. Yet he just gives us a little taste, so that of course we won't. He also strongly emphasizes religious principles, that we need to follow, and at the same time revealing his nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's above everything, transcendental to everything, not bound by anything. We could only imagine, just getting that little taste in the material world, you know, what are his unbounded activities in the spiritual world, where he doesn't have to, you know, be careful not to, you know, come under the scrutiny of envious people and, you know, rascals who may want to, you know, misinterpret his activities. So here, Rukmi, who represents, you know, the ordinary person, the envious type person in the material world, they're seeing here that here is a fault in Lord Maladev, and here is an opportunity for us to exploit that fault in the same way that generally, you know, apart from the devotees coming in the light of the cyclic succession, everyone without exception is trying to, you know, minimize, almost down to zero, the position, the personality, the existence of Lord Balaram. The Mayavadis, you know, they want to make Lord Balaram zero, nothing. You know, others, well, he can exist maybe as a myth religion. Others, where he can be maybe a little bit better than an ordinary person. Others, yeah, he can be an incarnation of Vishnu. Something. Everyone wants to minimize, reduce his situation, that is the nature, and, you know, by exploiting whatever they can, what they appear to be false in Lord Balaram. But here, of course, we have to understand that although people do that, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is capable of defending himself very, very easily. So we'll just read on, there's only a couple of verses in this chapter. Satam sahasram ayutam ramastat chandadevanam tam tur majayat tatra kalinga rahasadalam dandham sandarshayam lucha mam svistada dayudha. In that match, Lord Balaram first accepted a wager of 100 coins, then 1,000, then 10,000. Rukmini won the first round. The king of Kalinga laughed very loudly. Ho, 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 ho. At Lord Balaram, showing his teeth. Lord Balaram could not tolerate this. Tocham rukmyam gradnyad granam tacha jayadvara jitavannaham mityaha rukmi kaitavam hasitaha. Next, Rukmi accepted a bet of 100,000 coins, which Lord Balaram won. Jai! But Rukmi tried to cheat, declaring, I'm the winner. Shaking in anger like the ocean of the full moon day, handsome Lord Balaram, his naturally reddish eyes even redder in his fury, accepted a wager of 100 million gold coins. Tam jati jidavam gramo tamina jalam ashita rupi tamaya trine varantu prasnikati. Lord Balaram fairly won this wager also, but Rukmi again resorted to cheating and declared, I have won. Let these witnesses hear what say what they saw. Tadabravinabhiva Toganaha Namato Vachanin Haiva Rukmi Vati Vai Krisha. Just then, a voice from the sky declared, Balaram has fairly won this wager. Rukmi is surely lying. Dhammanavacha vaidargo dushkara rajantyo chuita sankarsanam parahisanam Babashekam Chodinam. Urged on by the wicked kings, Rupi ignored the divine voice. In fact, destiny itself was urging Rupi on, and thus he ridiculed Lord Balaram as follows. Nairaksha Kovira Yujam Gopala Nagocharam Akshaya Divyanti Rajan Yo Ranaishana Valadrisha. Rupi said, "Ye cowherds who wander about in the forest know nothing about dice. Playing with dice and sporting with arrows are only for kings, not for the likes of you."
Rukminaiham Adikshito Rajivishtoka Hashita Kudaha Parigraham Ujamya Jagnetam Nimna Chamsiri.
Thus insulted by Rukmi and ridiculed by the kings, Lord Balaram was provoked to anger. In the midst of the auspicious wedding assembly, he raised his club and struck Rukmi dead.
Kalingarajam dharsa grihita dasame hare dantam apathaya kruho.
The king of Kalinga, who had laughed at Lord Balaram and shut his teeth, tried to run away, but the furious lord quickly seized him on his tenth step and knocked out all of his teeth.
Anya Nirvina Mahuru Sirasa Rudi Roshita Rajano Dudrava Vita.
Tormented by Lord Balaram's club, the other kings fled in fear, their arms, thighs and heads broken and their bodies drenched in blood.
Nihate Rukmini Chale Navravit Shadvasaruva Rukmini Balayo Rajan Snehabanga Vyadari.
When his brother-in-law, Rukmi, was slain, Lord Krishna neither applauded nor protested. O king, for he feared jeopardizing his affectionate ties with either Rukmi or Balaram.
Tato nirudham saha suryaya bhram adam samorudhya dhayo kushastam yamadiro vajo katta dasaha.
Then the descendants of Dasarath, headed by Lord Balaram, seized Aniruddha and his bride on a fine chariot and set off from Bodhikartha for Dwarka. Having taken shelter of Lord Madhusudan, they had filled all their purposes. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, H.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the 10th chapter, 61st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, titled Lord Balaram's Slightest Rukmi. So, any quick questions or comments?
Just a comment. Some of us might leave today with a philosophical misunderstanding that Balaram was addicted to gambling, which is not true. I mean, you kept saying that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not addiction, it's a, you can call it maybe apparent addiction. As you know, Balaram is the form of servant Krishna. He stands as his shoe, as his bed, as his running thread, as everything. It's a leela. In fact, Balaram is not known for his gambling. Actually, Balaram is known for his drinking. And that's why, like today, Balaram appearance, at the end of the day today, we drink Balaram juice and all that. We don't gamble in the temple. Like you said later, then I realized that you just said later, this is Kshatriya's sport to fight and to gamble. That was the norm of the day. And so he has to participate like that. So he is actually dutifully performing Krishna's whatever instructions. In fact, in Ramavatar, he was Lakshman. And he was pretty subdued, and he tells Rama too, you know. But then Krishna says, in the next avatar, you'll be my elder brother. You'll be known as the big brother, Dauji. and you'll be have special leela and all that. So even like carrying a plow as an as a weapon may sound silly, but as you know that you drag the whole Yamuna with it. So what I'm saying is we are saying that others are minimizing the stature of Balaram by ignoring or misunderstanding, but we also shouldn't misunderstand that he's a gambler or a drunk or whatever. The whole world is interested in gambling and drinking, and the Lord is showing that, you know, of course there are no rules and regulations for the Lord. You know, there are no rules and regulations. The definition of God means there is no rules and regulations. So we have to have a proper understanding here before we leave today. And Nityananda Prabhu too.
So what was that?
Nityananda.
I didn't catch the
point. We shouldn't have a misunderstanding that he was addicted to gambling or addicted to drinking or whatever. And Nityananda Prabhu also has a little bit of that in this pastime, like apparently trying to drink and all that. I just thought that, you know, that some people might have a deviated understanding. Very good.
Sometimes we see this great personality Godhead, and you're gambling or engaging in pastimes with certain women, and we tend to highlight these pastimes and think, well, if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. But then we tend to, as you say, highlight these pastimes without actually seeing the other side. I mean, if it's good enough for God, if we can imitate, I mean, God is awesome. He lifted up COVID and hell. He's maintaining the universe. He's maintaining our lives. So that's pastimes of God. Not that we should imitate those pastimes, you know, and think we justify our activities because God does it and we can do it.
Because
righteous things that God does as well.
Yes.
If that's the case, then we should be doing those righteous things as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not unrighteous for Kshatriyas to gamble. Brahmanas don't gamble, and others shouldn't, but Kshatriyas, they live by a code where someone offers a challenge, they'll accept it. It was not unusual for Kshatriyas to gamble. Some Kshatriyas even ate meat. I was listening to a tape the other day. You know, sometimes people say the Pandavas ate meat, which they didn't. But Srila Prabhupada said that monks and Bhima as Kshatriyas, I also heard a tape the other day where Srila Prabhupada was describing that we establish Ramacharan college, that you would train up Kshatriyas, and they would be trained to kill. And some of them may hunt animals in the forest, and some of them may eat a small portion of that. Amongst certain, within the Varnashram, for kings, Kshatriyas, some take some intoxication, some meat, when they were hunting and gambling. These things are not actually considered religious. in its context, it wasn't highly out of order for what Balaram, any of those things that Balaram was doing. And he was displaying pastimes as a person, and that they performed some pastimes as cowardly boys, and they also performed pastimes as Kshatriyas. Now, in Dwarka, see here, of course, Rukmi, even though Balaram at this stage would be the king of Dwarka, Kshatriya, he's still referring to him as a cowherd boy, so he's sort of almost saying, you're you know, you may be wearing a crown, you're doing everything a kshatriya does, but to me you would always be this, you know, village boy, you know, like this. So, but, you know, his activities were not highly out of order, but the point that I was making was that for God, they do appear to be somewhat out of order. You know, when God seems to have a liking for intoxication and, you know, gambling, that appears to be out of order to people who are looking for fault in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they cannot understand that he's actually performing, you know, pastimes like an ordinary human being. And of course, in those pastimes, he is revealing, you know, his personality as he exists in the spiritual world, you know, to some degree to us here. And your point is, you know, quite good. What you're both saying, of course, is that we should be careful in discussing these pastimes, that people may, you know, if devotees, for instance, I think I've probably spent the majority of the class explaining the fact that Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's our duty as devotees. If we just sort of, you know, the same in reading Rasa Lila, you know, we distribute the Krishna book, you know, en masse to people. But we can do that because Srila Prabhupada has so carefully described, sentence after sentence, that Krishna is God. Srimati Radharani is his spiritual potency. Now, when we do that, just as we've done today, very clearly present Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimati Radharani is his, is, you know, Krishna's eternal spiritual potency, then when we present these pastimes, we're doing it correctly. If we present the pastimes and those points are not made clear, then certainly we're at fault. Because it is very easy for people to get misled. So, you know, whenever we're discussing anything about Radha Krishna, Balaram, we should always, you know, make a point to strongly emphasize that we are talking about the Supreme Personality of God. And if people want to challenge that, then we can, you know, discuss. Or you know, and of course, if people raise an objection very early, we may not go very far with the pastime. But of course, here, from what I see, these are all devotees. You know, Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for the devotees, and I see that literally everyone here is a regular, you know, devotee, Hare Krishna. So I don't think there's any objection to, you know, discussing these sort of pastimes in this sort of company.
No, discussing is all right, Prabhu. Misunderstanding. You're supposed to explain to people what's happening. There shouldn't be a misunderstanding. It's my fault.
Is it something you misunderstood?
I thought, you know, you were saying that Balaram is an addicted to gambling. And I thought that was absurd.
I was saying that Balaram is the current person of God.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, but you also have to prove it. Right?
It is Rukmi who took it as fault. Balaram certainly likes to gamble. It is his pastime. He also likes to drink for images. That is his pastime. Therefore, you know, every year, you know, Balaram doesn't do anything. He's, you know, it's not like by force. There's nothing that Balaram is doing, but he's forced by someone else to do it. Balaram is doing, performing pastimes, which means at his own pleasure, at his own leisure, with his devotees. Balaram, you know, struck Rukmini on the head and killed him at his sister-in-law's wedding. And I'm sure Balaram thoroughly enjoyed that. Yeah. As devotees, we can all understand that. But, you know, you certainly wouldn't be inviting anyone to a wedding who you thought might strike someone on the head and kill them because they, you know, offered some insults. But is there someone here who, you know, doesn't understand the Balaram's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or?
I was confused.
Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he actually, Srila Prabhupada mentioned many times that actually, you know, all qualities, he actually enjoys a good fight. You know, in the spiritual world, you know, there are no demons. Krishna and Balaram actually come to the material world and they get a good fight. You know, the biggest demons will oppose them. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example that just like Bhishma, Krishna enjoyed immensely Bhishma shooting arrows. Krishna loved it. Krishna experienced those arrows like flowers thrown by love. Or, as the acharyas describe it, that sometimes the lover will give a love bite. The lover will bite, literally, even break the skin. And the beloved will enjoy that biting in the, you know, intensity of love just as much as the kissing. So when Bhishma is, you know, fighting with Krishna, Krishna is experiencing like a love bite. It is another aspect of love. Krishna has, you know, he is a person. He has, certain abilities, inclinations, as any person does. And some of them manifest in the spiritual world, and some of them are only fulfilled in the spiritual, in the material world. Actually, you know, Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that Krishna has two businesses, or three, you know, killing the demons, annihilating. It's not like an incidental thing. He has two businesses. One of them is killing, and the other one is protecting the devotee. You know, there's Krishna and Balaram, in their pastimes in 125 years, they killed billions of people. Not just one, not just Rukmini, billions of people. And they do that regularly. Killing is one of the main businesses of Krishna. And Balaram. But, you know, in the spiritual world you can't go killing people. But, it's that fighting propensity that everything is in it.
On that subject of Lord Balaram, as you say, the pastimes, the Lord is showing us actually the ultimate pastimes. I mean, when he drinks, no one can equal Lord Balaram with drinking, no one can parallel Lord Balaram with his gambling habits, and that pastime is Lord Balaram. But then if you look at the pastime of Lakshman, who's Lord Balaram again, but in a different mood, different pastime, and like in this pastime of Lord Balaram, he has so many girlfriends and so forth, but in the pastime of Lakshman, he's never seen a woman's face. He's always, you know, in that mood of that pastime, that particular pastime of the Supreme Lord, he says he's never seen a woman, he's never gone beyond the ankle of a woman, ever. Mm-hmm. So, as I say, the pastime is
Yes.
Knowing is a past, and a past has a reward. Yes. Knowing and gambling as much as what Lord Dharan is gambling, or knowing and drink as much as what, and enjoy that, and be free from the reaction of the drink as well. And give supreme pleasure to the universe in that particular pastime.
That's a fact. Because if Balaram gambles, he's still gone. If Balaram takes intoxication, he's still gone. Nothing is diminished. His glories have actually become greater. We shouldn't be hiding the fact that the Supreme Lord does these things, as if, you know, they've shoved them under the carpet. Krishna and Balaram are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they show that in every activity they perform, even, you know, Krishna dancing with the gopis in the dead of night, breaking all the bounds of, you know, morality. Apparently, according to mundane standards, they still remain fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are never contaminated by any activity at all. Whether it appears to be sinful, whether it appears to be immoral, whether it appears to be moral, we can be contaminated by being addicted to moral activities, like Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira was addicted to morality. That was a form of, you know, in his pastime, of course, showing us that there can be a contamination. But whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead is moral or immoral in their activities, apparently, they remain fully the all-good Supreme Personality of Godhead without any change at all. And these activities are there to increase the glories of the Lord, not diminish them. And having said that, Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we follow their instructions, we don't try and imitate them. especially, in Kali Yuga, people would hear this pastime that, today the Varuni, so they'll say, or, you know, God likes intoxication, so yes, I will take intoxication, but as we said, Kshatriyas, some, not all, but took some intoxication. Balaram, even his cowardly pastimes, he seemed to enjoy that, but it's not that we see the Brahmins taking intoxication, the difference was that when Yudhisthira Maharaj, who wasn't God, when he lost in the gambling, they were exiled for 14 years into the forest, and they were cheated. But Balaram was God. When he was in the same position, he just killed him. What's that? Yeah. Lord Balaram, so this is one pastime. But if we look at all of Balaram's pastimes, we do see that sometimes that he is advised that when there is some killing, that even though he's completely sinless, because he's the clean personality of Godhead, the sages advise him that we don't want anyone following your example, because they will, so therefore you atone, and therefore, he would sometimes travel to the holy places of pilgrimage. He did that during the Battle of Kuru, etc. Of course, that was a pastime as well. He really, because in their pastimes, he didn't want to participate. So he took the opportunity to travel to different holy places of pilgrimage in the name of atoning for killing Ranahashan Sutta. So, again, but therefore we see that the sages are pointing out that people may follow his example, and therefore there are other examples where Lord Balaram displays, you know, as an ordinary human being, that we shouldn't kill. So both are there, both are there. Ultimately, at the end of examining Lord Krishna's and Lord Balaram's pastimes, we can either see an ordinary human being, because just like in Krishna's death, you know, his apparent death, he was shot in the heel by a hunter, and for those atheists, you know, who want to say, yes, he was an ordinary man, he died like anyone else, so therefore he left that pastime. And there are so many different pastimes, you know, for Krishna and Balaram that are just for the atheists. If you want to think I'm an ordinary person, full of, you know, the same defects as an ordinary mortal person. So there are different pastimes just to bewilder them. And you can think like that forever. And yet there are other pastimes which are performed which reveal that they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An envious person will just focus on the, you know, that which makes them appear to be an ordinary person, and they'll just completely forget. You know, if Krishna was shot in the heel, oh, he's an ordinary person. He married 16,000 wives, oh, that's a myth. So they'll take from the pastimes, you know, chop and change, you know. I like this bit, it makes him an ordinary person, so I'll accept that. Here, you know, he's lifting Govardhan Hill, I don't like that bit, that's a myth. You know, same with Lord Balaram. You know, here Lord Balaram is behaving as I think God should. And here, Balaram's taking intoxication, he's gambling, and he's struck, he's killed, you know, he's... you know, at his wedding, he struck him on the head and killed him. Oh, I don't like these bits. We can't actually take little bits and pieces of Krishna and Balaram's pastimes and just sort of pick and choose what we like. You know, all of them are there. The killing, the intoxication, the dancing with the gopis, lifting going down the hill, marrying 16,000 wives, as a total, all of them are accepted as a display of the Absolute Truth. And we accept every single word and every single aspect of those pastimes fully, 100%. We accept everything, the whole lot. We don't leave out anything, that this is not good. We accept everything that Krishna did is wonderful. We accept everything that Balaram did as wonderful, whether it appears tasteful or distasteful. But in accepting that, we always remember and try to help others understand that we are talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his position is that eternally and never diminished at all under any circumstances. And it is the variety of the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram which display that. If you look at their pastimes, you will see that they literally did everything, and although they did everything, their position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead never changed. You know, what if this happened? Would you still consider him God? Yes, that happened, and he's still God. And what about this? Yes, that happened, and he's still God. Not that God is some, you know, stereotype idea that he fits into a little slot that, you know, we allocate for God, and anything outside of that, he cannot be God. You know, these pastimes may be inconceivable, some of them may not be palatable to us, some may offend our senses of mundane morality or what have you, but you know, their pastime is displaying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we accept 100%. A devotee, they accept every aspect of the Supreme Lord's pastime immediately without question. And others may, you know, have to understand, you know, certain things before they can accept that pastime. But you know, different degrees of having faith in Krishna. You see, the Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, if Krishna performs a particular pastime, whether the full understanding is there or not, they just fully accept it. Srila Prabhupada said when his spiritual master was speaking, when he first started hearing from his spiritual master, many things he could not understand at all. But he sat and listened and accepted it all. And the same, we here is Sukadeva Goswami. He is describing these pastimes, and we accept that I describe. We may or may not be qualified to understand them, but because Sukadeva Goswami has spoken it, we accept wholeheartedly 100% of what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken.
This internal potency refers to Lord's only confidential devotees. When you say that this is the Lord's internal potency, like gopis, are they only restricted to gopis, or
there are Krishna's internal pleasure potency? manifest as Srimati Radharani and her expansions, and we living entities take shelter of that internal pleasure potency. So there are, you know, many, many different personalities who expand from Krishna's internal pleasure potency, and as living entities, we take shelter of Krishna's internal spiritual potency. We are Chitasti Shakti. We can be either under the shelter of Srimati Radharani, or we can be under the shelter of Devi, which is.
So, if the Gopas are attached to Krishna in a particular way, are they not referred to as an internal potency?
In what way?
If they are also attached to Krishna, Gopas also attached to Krishna, are they not referred to as an internal potency? Only gopis are referred to as an internal potency?
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the beginning, it just, in the early verses, it describes that generally those who take shelter in the conjugal rasa, they're considered under the internal, very intimate associates. And those who pursue the other houses, they're considered confidential devotees. But the answer to that is in Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur's Sri Krishna Sankirtan. It's a very technical subject. I don't think it's necessary to go into that in this class. You know, if you want the technical answer to that, you can look in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you can look in Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur's Sri Krishna Sankirtan. But I don't think, you know, we're already over time. I don't think it's such a... I can look it up and we can discuss those verses, but that's not...
What was the question?
Whether... you can ask.
The question was, only gopis are referred to as an internal potency of Krishna, or the Gopas can be the internal potency as well, because they are also attached to Krishna.
So what's the difference between the two? That's what you're asking.
Yes.
Some of the resonance of the spiritual world manifest by the Vajini Shakti, and some manifest by the other Shaktis. There is Sandini, Sambit, Vajini, and you know, in combinations they manifest different aspects of the spiritual world. It's all technically described in Sri Krishna Samhita, like Bhaktivinoda Kaur. But what was your thoughts on that, Henry?
There's a variety of personalities, because there's also, you know, the gopas that are Krishna's associates, there are the gopas that are Balaram's associates.
I don't know the answer to that, but I thought that, as you say, technical question.
Yeah.
No, the gopis are different types of gopis. Not all gopis are the same. So Radhani Sakti expands to Radharani, Radharani expands to Lakshmi, and those gopis are all considered internal potential. The other gopis are not considered. They may be eternal associates and stuff, but they are not.
What about the gopas who are actually too much attached to Krishna?
But they don't come from the Radhani potency, no.
If you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it describes the followers of Vidadha Pandit, it describes the purport there. So in Adi Lila, and I believe that's chapter 3, Adi Lila part 3, you find in the description of the followers of Vidadha Pandit that topic is discussed. You also find Sri Krishna Samhita by Bhaktivinoda Kaur. I don't think we need to go into that discussion right here. I would prefer that we actually, you know, I mean, we're just about to wind up, but we should really be discussing the gurus of Balaram, not discussing how, you know, intricate knowledge of spiritual science. In what way is that related to Lord Baladev in some way that you wanted to ask that question?
Oh no, that has just struck me.
It's best to ask questions that actually, you know, generally, especially on a day like today, that really, we don't want to take attention from Lord Balaram. I mean, we spent the whole class trying to think of him, and, you know, there are so many things in spiritual life that we can think of.
Well, this is not, we are not taking our attention away from Balaram. We are actually tracking our attention towards Lord.
That's why I ask, is there some connection particularly? Is there something in the,
it's alright, if you cannot answer, no, that's fine.
I explained where you can find the answer.
Alright.
But we don't want to get into too much of a discussion. It's actually quite a lengthy discussion. It's not like, even if you read it, you're not just immediately understand that. You can go to those books, or you can read it now. I guarantee you won't walk out of the store understanding it, just because you've even read it in a book. This is very, you know. Lord Balaram is the original guru. And by taking shelter of Lord Balaram, we can establish ourselves in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his eternal servant. Gradually, as we become a very mature servant and develop prema, pure love of God, if the tendency for conjugal love develops, then we take shelter of the other original eternal guru, Srimati Radharani. So her appearance day is coming up later, in a few weeks' time. So you know, we can discuss those sort of topics on that day. But you know, as far as Lord Balaram, it is very important that we understand the principle of the guru to accept as here. You see, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining the pastimes of Lord Balaram, and we accept those pastimes as they are, whether we understand them fully or not. And we pray today to Lord Balaram that we can just be a servant of the Lord. There's no question of, you know, trying to understand the technical, you know, ontological positions of the difference between Radharani and other gopis or cowherd boys, and jump over the fact that we, you know, haven't even taken up properly devotional service. And Lord Balaram gives us the opportunity that by taking shelter of him, we can actually become situated as in service to the Supreme Lord, accepting God as the ultimate authority and accepting that we are his eternal servants. That's actually what we want to take out of today. We should be meditating on that very seriously. And if, you know, after many years, 20, 30, 40 years, you know, that inclination towards conjugal love begins to manifest, then you may get some inkling into, you know, the answer to that question. I can't, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've read many different things, and, you know, frankly, I'm a little confused on some of those matters, and I've read a lot of different things. It's not such a, you know, an easy thing that you can just give an answer like that and walk out of it. Oh, now I know. Even read the books. Better to understand, you know, if you can understand thoroughly that you're the servant of Lord Balaram, you go back to Godhead. And even if you never know that the answer to that question, if you just understand, you know, that Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original Guru, then, you know, you can go back to Godhead. That's all you need to know. The whole, you know, it's interesting because the whole point of this pastime is people jumping above their station, isn't it? The whole pastime is people jumping above, you know, my position is like this, but I'm going to jump up here. And by doing that, we immediately, you know, create problems in our spiritual life. Well, it's a fact. Look at me. I'm going to bear it in the end. We should take that important point. You know, Lord Balaram, he's making a very strong point here with his club. You know, what is your position? Don't jump above it, because I'll bang you on the head very quickly. You know, understand that you're eternal servant of Krishna first. If that qualification is there, and we develop, you know, great maturity in devotional service over many, many years, then we're eligible to ask those questions. And then after meditating upon the answer for another so many years, we may get a glimpse into its understanding. We shouldn't just jump. It's not going to happen. That's the whole purpose of this, you know, story.
I was just asking a question. There's not a question of so much.
I'm not speaking to you particularly. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm actually speaking, you know, to everyone. And also, because this is being recorded, you know, there are hundreds of people who will listen. So I'm not speaking to you particularly for that.
That's all right. But if you cannot answer, all right, Prabhu, that's fine.
No, I did answer because I told you where you can read. There's two books. One is in the reference of Gadadhara Das Pandit. There's a purport there. And one is in the True Krishna Samhita. I don't fully understand it. I admit that. You know, I've read those many, many times over 30 years, and I don't fully understand it. And I don't think you can give just such a cut and dry answer as to, you know, that understanding. You know, it may take many, many, many lifetimes, we thought. You know, one time the devotee asked, you know, Srila Prabhupada, can you tell us about Tulsi Devi? You know, she's a pure devotee. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. You know, when you're a pure devotee, then you'll understand Tulsi. That was his answer. And, you know, you see Srila Prabhupada's teachings, you know, as I said, from the very beginning, one thing that is very difficult for people in this world to understand is that we accept the principle of guru. That means that there is someone superior to us who guides us. And under their guidance, we take each step. That's the principle of advancing Krishna consciousness. Failing that, we try and jump up and go around the guru, go around Balaram, around the Sukadeva Goswami, and we miss everything. Any other
questions?
Since there's no prasadam this morning, no one's leaving. anyone who needs to go can go, but I'm quite happy to answer questions. Unless I'm holding up any devotees from the service, and there's the excuse. Yep,
perfect. Yeah, so we're just talking about this, like you just related to being that Balaram promised himself to being, you know, under the service and support. And though he is considered to be an incarnation of the real divine, he still is submissive to Krishna, and as you just told from that he's supposed to understand through that. But when these Supreme Powers come down and pick up human life, they get a human birth, how do they manage this? How do they switch that mind which, like, they don't jump ahead with all that power and all that knowledge, they could never jump ahead. And how are they so humble and modest with their service?
Krishna and Balaram?
Yeah. How do they balance the management? I mean, if I as a servant, if I have to understand that and I have to stop jumping and follow a path of understanding a guru, is it, you start loving God, or is it...
So we see here, you know, in this pastime, Lord Balaram killed Rukmini. Krishna is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he refrained himself from saying anything that might disturb Balaram. So he also, you know, he showed such a wonderful example, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that it is proper. As God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he is doing that, then what is our position, of course? But the reason that they perform any of their pastimes, whether they're holding back so that we have certain things to follow according to our ability, or whether they're displaying something completely extraordinary and unlimited potency, which displays the effects of God, in either sense, what they are doing is they are doing out of love for us. In the same way that a parent, sometimes they display to the child, you know, their superiority. Because sometimes children need to know, you know, sometimes children can all of a sudden think that I am in charge of mum and dad. And so the parents display just a pinch of their superiority. It's not an ego thing, but it is, you know, if you don't see something just to remind you, you know, you may become a little, you know, overstep your position as a child and think that you really are running, you know, the house. So the parent, out of love, they'll display, you know, some display of great power. Just a pinch. Not, you know, for a child, it's just a pinch. So Krishna and Balaram do that as well. To, you know, they display. So you see here Balaram. You know, sometimes Balaram, he would hit someone with a piece of grass and kill that person. So he would display. Don't ever forget that I am the Supreme Personality of God. At other times, you know, a parent, they are doing very, very simple things because they know that the child is watching and is trying to follow them. So when the child's in that mood of trying to follow, then the Supreme Personality of God is, they will do very simple things so that they can follow. But when that child thinks, I'm just as good as you because I'm doing everything you're doing, in fact not better, then again the Supreme Lord, or the parent, they have to display, there's a little bit more, and they display some extraordinary potential. It's all out of love. It's very natural. So some of the things that Lord Balaram does is actually to display the fact that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is completely aloof from any restrictions of any sort. He is not bound by anything. He is God. And some of his pastimes display that. Some of his pastimes display also the, you know, unlimited potency, power of God. And other pastimes of Balaram display, you know, once that is understood, what we should do in order to follow both of them. And a parent does the same thing. You know, and because it is done so expertly, you see that, you know, a child, they follow the parents and they know this is to follow. Even if, you know, a 2-year-old child, they know this is to follow and this is not. So, for instance, a parent will show a child how to cook. A parent will say, you know, here is some, you know, dough, and you roll it like this and you make a pancake. So the parent will follow and do exactly what. But then the parent will also go into the kitchen and cook up, you know, get the fire going, there's, you know, steam going here, and there's, you know, sharp knives going. And the child knows, I don't follow that. I can roll this, I don't pick up them sharp knives, I don't play with that fire, I don't go near that. So even a child, 2-3 years old, they get, you know, they know what to follow and what not to. And the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the same. But, you know, if we actually just give oral reception to them, it actually should be quite clear, you know, that we follow this, which is what we can do, and these we can't follow. That's his display of God, and this is his display of, you know, what we should follow. That is it. The only reason, you know, the only reason that we wouldn't understand that is you know, for people like Mayavadis and that, of course, they don't want that understanding. They don't want to come to that understanding, and therefore they'll never come to that understanding. Others may hear, but may not hear attentively. You know, for different reasons. But if we hear attentively and from the right person, it should be quite self-evident.